Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Survivor Specialist Phil and Will are back with our episode number 10 recap of Survivor 49. Happy Thanksgiving Eve, everybody, to all of you who are keeping to tradition and just watching Survivor on this Wednesday night rather than going out and doing something else. We appreciate it, and we're excited to be here and talk about this episode. Final eight, and I gotta say, that was a pretty damn good tribal council. Like, even though part of me was still thinking Savannah and Rizzo are gonna get away with this, we'll see what ends up happening. Like, knowing the 50 information kind of did play into that. I thought that was a pretty damn good final tribal council there because I didn't know who the alternative was going to be. And what I think was the fun added element of this tonight was the fact that Steven got the idol played for him. So when Rizzo gets up and plays his, it looks like he's going to play his anyway, you're saying to yourself, oh man, he knows like Steven was the guy they voted for, right? And I thought that was the fun added element of, you didn't know if it was going to be Sage. You didn't know if it was going to be Juwan. You didn't know if it was going to be Steven. You didn't know if Rizzo was going to have to play his idol. Instead, Rizzo plays a fake idol. a lot to dive into with this. Knowledge is power did not come into play tonight. And the extra vote is now out. So we have no Christina Idol and we have no extra vote left. Knowledge is power is still in the game. And Rizzo's real idol is still in the game. Episode number 10. Will, what'd you think?
I like how you're coming up here and just praising the episode and the tribal council. I think we got to address the elephant in the room. How wrong were you last week? Can we just, I think we have to get it out now. I mean, we broke down Jawan and Sage's decisions last week about not taking the shot at Rizgod's idol. He didn't play his idol. If they put the votes on him and he doesn't play his idol, Rizgod goes home and Jawan and Sage are likely still in the game and that alliance is intact. If they put the votes on Rizzo and he does play his idol, Alex still goes home. And then maybe it's a little bit out in the open of where everybody stands and there's not this big shock. So I'm kind of want to hear you explain yourself a little bit. I mean, I was on the side last week that they should have put votes on the Rizzo. I was absolutely 100% correct, as proven by tonight's episode. And you were pretty much completely incorrect. So I just want to kind of hear it.
If you want to come in hot and you want to be thankful, this is
how to hear it.
Everybody goes around the table at Will's family and they say, what are you thankful for? And Will goes, you're an asshole. Let's start breaking this down right now. Well, let's do this then, Will. Since I don't have short-term memory, I got long-term memory too.
Just saying. I just want to hear
it. 2 weeks ago, I sat here and said Jawan and Sage blew the game and made a huge blunder. And you said, I don't think they did. I don't think it was that bad. So I said it 2 weeks ago. And then last week after whatever took place, I said, you know what? Maybe it wasn't that bad. Maybe Rizzo and Savannah aren't threats and they're going along with them. And honestly, here's the crazy part. If Sage doesn't go to Sophie Segretti with this plan, they probably would gotten away with it. These dastardly kids. They probably would have. Because guess what? After last week, after that episode, still Savannah and Rizzo were thinking Jawan and Sage was with them. But Sage made the biggest mistake in the book. And this is the thing. Jawan went home tonight. It was Sage's mistake. Sage went to Sophie Segretti and told Sophie Segretti, I want to get Savannah out of the game. And what she didn't realize is how close Sophie Segretti was with Savannah. I said last week,
you were onto that. You sniffed that out. I will give you credit when you're right, and I'll give you credit when you're wrong. You were all over that Sophie Segretti is the key here, and that she's very much in with this trio that is clearly identified by the others, the Savannah, Rizzo, Sophie, Belairdi. Gosh, the two Sophies, man.
Can I finish my thought?
No, I'm giving you credit that one, but we're not letting you off the hook
And I want to finish my thought on this real quick. I said last week that the decision to go the way they did, I felt, was based on Sophie Segretti, right? If Sophie Segretti is going that way, there's four votes over there, and Jawan and Sage are going along with this plan to get rid of Alex because they wouldn't have been able to get the numbers the right way, I guess, with however Alex was playing. But I was saying that they were going with – so they Sophie Segretti was the reason why they couldn't split the vote last week, right? Because everybody was saying it should just be a 3-3-3. That's what people were talking about in our comments. That's what people were talking about on this podcast. We talked about it. No, yeah, you okay? Maybe
not what I said. I'm saying 5-4 Alex. And if it's Alex Rizzo 4-5, 5-4, 6-3, you don't even need. It doesn't matter if there's only two people up for grabs. One of them's going home, and if Rizzo plays his idol, Alex still goes home. I'm not talking about a vote split at all.
No, and I said last week if they're going, they should have gone the 3-3-3. Right. That's what they were planning to do. Sophie Segretti is lost and goes to the other side. So now Sage and Jawan have to reevaluate. Maybe they say 5-4, like you said, Rizzo goes home or it's Alex. Who cares? But I said, well, maybe they're not as worried about Rizzo as a game player. They're going back and they have allies here. Again, the big mistake here is that Sage comes back despite last week. I truly feel knowing that the votes could not be split in a 3-3-3 fashion, which was the original plan. She comes back knowing that couldn't happen because of Sophie Segretti defecting, essentially. And she still goes to Sophie so early in this plan. And that's when the whole thing blew up for her. And I feel like based on last week, if Jawan and Sage are coming out of last week and they are saying, hey, we made the right move, but we need to be understanding that Sophie Segretti is not completely with us. And we got to be a little careful with what we tell her. then I think they're both still in the game right now. But Sage made a huge blunder here.
Let me just differentiate when you said it 2 weeks ago versus me saying it last week. After 2 weeks ago, when you said they should have pulled the trigger and they didn't, and I said, well, they didn't really need to because it was all these things. I don't need to go over again. And then last week, they end up in the power position still. And that's why I was correct. They didn't need Sophie Segretti's vote. They could have put votes on to Rizzo. That would have been completely fine. They could have done that with Steven. They could have done that with Christina. This week, the very next round, Juwan's blindsided by Rizzo and Savannah. I'm just saying. But we can move on to this week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just throwing this out there. Like, the whole time, too, I know people are in the comments and everybody's like, Phil, you said Juwan could win. Juwan had a chance, but I think people
I think Juwan, no, that was fine. Again, I'm only criticizing that you were not hard on Juwan Sage last week enough, and you were really giving them a pass when I thought maybe this was, like, the easiest risk to take, and it wasn't that risky, and we obviously covered it. And so when I'm correct and you're wrong, I like to rub it in your face. And when I'm wrong and you're correct, you like to rub it in my face. That's what we do here on The Specialist. So I had to let you
know. And it's fair. It's fair. I feel like last week I think the thing with last week, though, I wasn't really gung ho that it was the right move. I was just saying, like, I'm understanding more where they came from on last week's and the week before. But I get what you're saying with the power position. The thing is, Juwan and Sage still came into this episode in the power. And I think that's what the craziest thing is. I think this episode really showed how quickly you can lose power in Survivor if you let the information slip to the wrong people. We're doing Kara Moen for the Patreon coming up in December, and it's going to be starting like the first Thursday of December. The final 12 boot where Corinne has all the power but then goes and tells Dawn is almost the exact same situation that we just watched tonight. She goes and tells Dawn, and the entire thing flips back around on her. And Sage got really lucky tonight because Sage, they felt that Juwan was a bigger threat than Sage. Now, I don't know if that's correct or not, but they did think Juwan was a bigger threat than Sage, so they ultimately took out Juwan and elected to keep Sage around. Sage could easily burn the camp down at this point if she gets to the point where other people are starting to, you know, so we see Sophie Bellarity saying next week, I would take them out too. I don't want to do this just completely with them, which is the right move. Right now, Rizzo and Savannah have good resumes. I don't think Savannah's jury management on Juwan tonight was very good. I feel like she does not get his vote ever. And maybe that's what this edit is like Savannah gets to the end and doesn't get Juwan's vote. And that could be the deciding vote. And that's why this edit was a disaster for Juwan.
Yeah, I don't know if his edit was a disaster, but yeah, I think we've seen, like, throughout the season that Savannah is not really well respected, and the edit undermines her often, even tonight when she's talking about how, you know, somehow her, Rizzo, and Sophie have regained the trust of Sage and Juwan. They voted together again at this tribal council and explains that they're going to take out Steven at the next vote, and we don't even cut to a scene. I don't know if we've ever seen editing or storytelling like this before in Survivor. It almost felt like it was something out of The Office, where it's like you have one person giving a confessional and then the next confessional is almost like that person could hear them. Mm-hmm. And we have Savannah's confessional saying how much she trusts that Sage and Juwan are with them. And then Sage just goes, no, this is the plan. I want to get Savannah. So we've seen Savannah continually be undermined, and that usually is not the trait of someone who wins the game. I honestly think a lot of people who think Savannah is winning or even has a chance really to win at this point is looking that she's on 50 and then she's not on Kyle's tribe or Dee's tribe. And they're like, well, if there's two winners and they're on different tribes, there must be a third. And what do you know? We have a player from season 49 that could win. I don't think from what we've seen so far that she can get enough votes at Final Tribal Council. I mean, look, if she's sitting next to, who does she have to sit next to? I mean, probably Christina and...
I don't know if there's a second
person. I don't know. I think Rizzo's beating her. I think Sophie's beating her. I think the other Sophie's beating her.
I think Steven beats her.
Yeah.
Sage,
Steve, I think they all... Yeah. So, like, I don't know if Savannah has a really winning shot here, but you are alluding to her jury management tonight. I assume you're talking about her reaction when her name came up and she acted so shocked and so surprised. And clearly she knew what was going on. She knew that they had put votes onto Juwan and not put them on to Steven. So we can talk about that. Or I think first and foremost, probably want to talk about the Rizzo demonstration, the theatrics from Rizzo first, before we talk about the theatrics from Savannah. So what do you think about the Rizzo theatrics?
I think it's a good move sometimes. I'm not really sure on this one. He went up. I think it was to see, like, where did the votes go here and see what the reaction was. But also what was interesting about it is he knew he had the numbers, which I think is what's confusing. He knew there was the extra vote, so he knew he had the 5-4. So I don't really know why he did it. And then Juwan saying, play the real thing, man. Maybe he wanted to see Sophie Segretti's reaction, because if Sophie Segretti has a big reaction, then he knows that he's actually being duped. I don't know.
Yeah, I was confused on that. I imagine he did this for some reason. I don't know if he would just get up and do it for show and do it for fun. There are a couple explanations. My first thought would be that he wants to convince everybody that he never had an idol in the first place. I mean, can we trace back to who knows about his idol, who saw him find it, who can confirm that he ever even had one? Maybe he was bluffing the whole time. And by going up to play this fake idol and giving it to Jeff, is he now convincing some people that, hey, maybe he never had one to begin with, or maybe someone planted a fake idol?
All him get it, didn't they? I think all of
them don't remember.
Got it. Oh, that's right, because he went in the water by himself. So maybe you're right. Maybe nobody
actually. I think Rizzo found it by himself, and I think Savannah knows it's real. And maybe Juwan does too, because Juwan was on that beach, I think. But guess what? Juwan just got voted out. So now you have Steven, Christina, Sage still left in the game that might be like, I don't think Rizzo ever had an idol, or someone must have planted at the Uli camp. And maybe there's some merit to like disarming your own idol and convincing people that the one you had the entire time was fake. Now, that's one possibility. Another possibility is the one that you just brought up, Phil, which is, can you play an idol, have everybody think it's real, get the reactions from their faces, and then that gives you intel on whether you need to play the real thing, or maybe who's voting with you, who's not voting with you, who is shocked, who's not. And the problem with that here is kind of what you already mentioned, is that he thinks he has the numbers, and the person that he is probably the most unsure about here, it's not Savannah, it's not Sophie, and Savannah's playing two of those votes. So he's got four of the votes out of eight on lockdown. So at the worst, it is a tie, especially because Christina played.
No, it would have been 5-3. It would have been 5-4. No, because it would have been 5-4 because it was him, Savannah 2, Sophie 1. So that's four votes. There's five other people. So it actually.
Oh, true. Been 5-4. True. Yeah. Right. And so the person, and you said this, looking at Sophie Segretti, yellow Sophie here. And what reaction could she give? Because isn't she going to act shocked too? Because doesn't she want to sell this plan that she is like in with Steven, Christina, Sage, Juwan? So she has to kind of pretend she's with them. So I'm just curious, what reaction is RizGod looking for here if that was his plan, if it was to gauge a reaction?
I think it was just to see if there was anything out of the ordinary. I think at this point, he probably knows everybody's tells, right? He hasn't played an idol for 3 weeks. He probably knows what people's reactions are. Now Sophie Segretti's voted with him a couple times. I think he knows where he stands. And so maybe it just was the fact of him just looking at everybody and saying, is there anything unusual that just took place there that should make me think? And I know...
Because like, he plays it... He tells Jeff he's playing it for Savannah.
Yeah.
Why would what facial reaction can Sophie Segretti give that is going to give him any intel? Because either there's two possibilities. One, she's with you and knows that you have the votes, you have the numbers, you don't need to play it. So I guess the reaction like, huh? Like confusion, like what are you even doing? Why are you wasting an idol? This doesn't make any sense. I'm with you. If she's with the other side and isn't truly with you, with Rizzo. And he plays it for Savannah. That's, I don't know if she would have a big reaction. I don't know if she would give it away.
Yeah, it's a weird moment. Because it can't be the whole like doing and making everybody think it was fake. Though I don't think it's making everybody think it was fake the whole time. Because why reveal that now?
Because if Sophie goes, oh my God, Savannah, you put it on Savannah. Then isn't Rizzo immediately then thinking, oh, Sophie's playing it up to convince the other people? I don't know. It seems like there's not this tangible thing. I the way Rizzo plays this game, it's almost like I know there was some like definite reason for this. I don't think this was all for nothing, but I can't really pinpoint what it is.
I mean, we'll have to see. I don't really have a better answer because when he played it, I was just like, oh yeah, Rizzo played his idol for Savannah. That's nice. And then it wasn't.
No, I was so confused. I was so confused when he played it for Savannah. I was like, why? That doesn't make, from what we've been told leading up to this tribal council, it doesn't make any sense.
Especially with Steven getting the idol played on him. They know they didn't vote for Steven, so they know that that idol ultimately makes no difference in this vote.
Right. It's always like, what? And then so it's like, okay, it's fake. Okay, what was the reason for this? I hope there's a reason.
So
unless it's just to get up and make a speech in front of the jury and just be like, look at me, I'm running the show and I'm gonna have fun with this. I'm having fun at Tribal Council. I mean, that was his energy tonight, was how fun Tribal Council is. This is where the game is played, this is where you live or die. So was that just kind of a garnish of that? I don't know.
I don't either. I don't know. Here's Cody Brayman with a huge Thanksgiving super chat.
Oh, thank you.
Is Sophie keeping the knowledge is power the smartest move of the last few seasons? She's going to steal Rizzo's idol. Even though do you think Rizzo gave the idol to Savannah, it was never shown he had a fake. So it seems like people are thinking that Rizzo and Savannah does know about Rizzo's real idol, has seen Rizzo's real idol. What are you thinking about this? Like, do you think now after this week, there is a better chance that Sophie is going to steal Rizzo's idol? Because I think he does put a target on his back by making a big show of this at this tribal council. Because even though everybody might feel good with him, you're now getting down to final seven and you're saying, this guy has just too much power.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's publicly brought out an idol at tribal council, showed it to everybody, sat on it without getting eliminated, was in the correct, you know, on the correct side, even like whipping most of the votes together for the last three votes. And then to just do this huge song and dance for the jury, everyone has to be looking at Rizzo as a big threat. And that's a very good point by Cody. Sophie, not for some reason, I had not clocked this. I was not aware that Savannah and Rizzo did not know about Sophie's knowledge is power.
Yeah, she hasn't told anybody. Nobody.
I thought they had a little get together and was like, this is what I got. This is what you got. Okay, you got this. I got this. We're only 3 out of 9 or 10 or whatever it was at the time, but we got this. We can come together. But her not revealing that, and then the show telling us tonight also, I mean, that's very likely now, especially with Christina playing her idol. Does that idol get rehidden? It likely does. But maybe people, I don't know, whoever finds it, maybe Sophie finds it and then says, hey, you know what? I know where the only other idol is in the game. And it's someone who is becoming a massive, massive threat.
Well, and here's the thing at this point, and I know we're not really talking about this episode too much. We'll get there. But here's my thing. If you're Sophie Bellardi at this point on final seven, you know that Sage is ready to vote out Savannah or Rizzo. You know that Steven's ready to vote out Savannah or Rizzo. And you know Christina's ready to vote out Savannah or Rizzo. You know the extra vote is gone, so you have a 4-3 advantage. The only thing stopping you from being able to successfully pull off this move is Rizzo's idol. And the thing is, with Rizzo's idol, you have to figure out where the vote should go in the event of an idol play, because he can play it for either person, him or Savannah, and save them, right? However, when it comes to knowledge is power, you would assume Rizzo is going to be holding his idol until he would make the decision of, should I play it for me or should I play it for Savannah, right? So you don't have to worry, when you're playing knowledge is power, you don't have to worry about Savannah actually having it in possession. You should know that Rizzo has it in the possession. Whereas if you're playing the 4-3, we have the numbers, let's not steal the idol, you have to make sure that you're voting for the right person and that Rizzo doesn't ultimately put the votes on the person that you vote that, or play the idol for the person that you vote for. So the thing that's fascinating about this is she goes into next episode with a clear group that would be willing to vote out Savannah or Rizzo. The other crazy part about this is if she steals the idol, it's a 4-3 vote. She doesn't have to play that idol. So now she has that idol going into final six, which would be insane. And this is the time of the game to get that, because now you have the idol going into final six. Yes, you have a big target on your back now because you've made a huge move, but you also have an idol. You have to win one immunity challenge and you're in fire. This is the time.
Yeah, or maybe not even win immunity challenge. Just like get through the vote, play the idol, get through final five, get through five or six without immunity. And that's probably even more impressive. But yeah.
So it feels like, though, final seven, this makes the most sense to do it because she has to, even if Sophie Segretti doesn't want to go with her, which it seems like she does based on the preview, but even if she didn't want to, it's a 4-3.
Yeah, I know we're talking a lot about what's going to happen next week, and I apologize for that, but that's how Phil and I do it. We'd like to let the conversation flow. We don't go chronologically at all. I'm thinking more about this. It's almost like next week you want to vote out Savannah. You're going to take a shot at them. Keep Rizzo in the game with his idol. And then at final six, steal his idol. So you vote out Rizzo and then you're there at five.
Yeah.
That seems like that would be the most baller move.
I mean, if that happens, Sophie Bellardi's like upper echelon of Survivor players for pulling off. I mean, that back to back would be insane.
And then she's guaranteed fire, at least. Depends who's still around. And then you're at the final four with Sage, Sophie, Steven, Christine, or final five with Sage, Sophie, Steven.
Yeah, and she wins that in a landslide, no matter who she says.
If she gets to the end, yeah.
If she gets there. I mean, it's very hard to figure out exactly how you want to do it. And then the other question becomes, and again, this should probably be for prediction and power rankings, but then the other question becomes, do you think Rizzo would play the idol for Savannah? Tonight, he like faked everybody out. But if you're getting down to final seven, let's say he thinks Savannah's going home, And no votes are going towards Rizzo. If you're Rizzo, do you say, I'm going to final six?
And you're not even going to final six. You're going to final six with an idol.
And you're assuming you're going to final five.
So it's like, yeah.
I mean, it's been masterful what he's been able to do with the idol. I do think, though, he might have peeked his head up a little bit too high, and now the sniper sees him, right? Like, they got him in their sights, and I'm a little bit worried for him.
Yeah, you don't want to draw that much attention to yourself, especially at tribal council where the jury is there and the jury is growing. Now we have four people on the jury. So it's like everyone's going to be looking at you like we cannot sit next to Rizzo at the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, maybe that's something you want, especially if you do have an idol and you think you're good with your relationships. Like if your name's the one getting tossed around as we can't sit next to that person, that bodes very well for you if you do end up sitting at the end, because it's like that's kind of been the narrative. Like we have to get you out, and if we can't, then you deserve to win. So I don't know. It could be something to it. Like I said earlier, Rizzo, I imagine. I mean, has he tweeted about it or anything? I don't know. Are there interviews? I know they sometimes – like has he explained this on social media at all? Like this was why I did it. Here's the information I could gather. This is – the way it can.
No, I'm pretty sure he's being better about his NDA because of 50. I'm sure Rizzo's being a little bit like, hey, I'm not going to go say anything stupid. I'm not going to go on a star rampage.
Yeah, a lot of times people, but even like Rachel during 47, I know she wasn't on 50 yet, but I feel like people sometimes just like clarify things like this is what really happened or this is what I was thinking. And even if it is in the middle of the season, they might just kind of clarify something. But we don't know. Maybe it was just all for show.
Yeah, and I will be honest, I didn't go on X much tonight because I was using ChatBCC. I finally signed up.
I signed up for that too. And man, that is a lot of fun. And
it's a lot more positive.
Well, it's like, I don't know, it's like a weird, it's like a hybrid. You're right, it's more because it's not anyone can post. You're like watching other people chat. I mean, I don't go on Twitter while I'm watching anyway, because to me, Twitter's interface has always, or X, whatever, has always just been so bad for me. I click on like, I want to see the replies. So I click the thing that looks like a message bubble, and then it asks me to reply back. I'm like, how do I see the responses to this? And they're like not in chronological order, and there's no rhyme or reason of who's replying to who. But this, whatever, what's a chat BCC, which is actually a very cool name, because BCC is basically saying everyone can read it, but not everyone's participating.
Yeah.
And you can just see all like former Survivor contestants. I don't know. There's like 25, 30, 40. 30, I don't know.
30 something. Yeah. I mean, there's probably, there and everything,
there's probably like a dozen former Survivor contestants like going through and chatting. And honestly, I had a couple times, the worst part about it is like I was realizing I was on it, and I was not paying attention to the episode. And I'm like, shoot, I got a podcast about this, so I have to rewind and like focus. But for people that don't have to podcast about it and just want to participate in the conversation, or at least watch the conversation, I thought that was kind of I think that's a hit.
Yeah. And it was funny because I had screenshotted something, because I'm like, I'm going to put this up. It's going to be awesome. And then it didn't come true. But I assumed at 8:11 PM, Marianne from the winner of Survivor 42 said, also calling it now, this episode is very clearly a Christina will lose her idol episode, which is exactly what I was thinking at 8:11 p.m. So when I screenshotted that, I was like, I'm going to throw that up and I'm going to be like, Will, how obvious was it that Christina is going to lose her idol? Marianne called it at 8:11, and then she didn't lose her. She lost her idol, but it didn't get stolen. I think we all assumed she was getting it stolen.
I know. It's almost we were like baited into this, especially one of the first confessionals. I mean, we're seeing Christina's reaction about being left out of the vote, and she's not happy. And she has her monologue and her inner thoughts, and she ends it with, at least I got protection, and at least I got my idol, so at least I'm going to stick around. And you're like, oh no, Christina. Yeah. Like, we know about the knowledge is power. We know that you're on the opposite side of that. We know Steven has blabbed this age about your idol. Like, we're connecting the dots here, and it did feel a little like, oh man, if this is really where we're going, that would not be good storytelling. We talk about this all the time. It's like any good movie. It's like, all right, this is the plan. This is how we're going to steal the diamonds. And if the plan goes according to plan, bad, not fun, not interesting. If the plan goes awry, that's where the conflict is. That's amazing. And so if we were so onto this happening, it wouldn't have hit as hard. So I'm glad this was like, I did not see this coming at all. And I really didn't see the Juwan blind side coming.
I thought it was going to be Sage. I thought Steven was going to have an idol played for him. I did think Rizzo was going to play the idol for Savannah, but I was like, maybe that's just because they did put votes on. I don't know. And then I thought maybe what would happen is, I thought what was going to happen is Rizzo was going to play his first and then Christina was going to play hers because they were going to put votes on Savannah. And because they did put votes on Savannah, then she would play hers for Steven thinking it was him. They wouldn't vote for Steven. They would end up voting for Sage and Sage would go home. But it really did seem like, based on what we heard tonight from Sophie Segretti and from others, that Juwan was the bigger threat. Now, maybe it was that Savannah just, you know, doesn't like Juwan, but it did feel like it was more of Juwan being a bigger threat. Now, did you notice at the end of this episode, more importantly, that Juwan actually took Rizzo's torch and had his torch snuffed? So technically Rizzo's torch has been snuffed, not Juwan's. So I think Juwan should still be in the game.
Wow. I did not notice that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he did that on purpose. I was, when they were going to read the votes, I thought Sage was out of here, especially Sophie Segretti's voting confessional where she says, yep, you know, you've really become a strategic force and a threat in this game. And I thought, like, wow, that really describes Sage, how somebody you probably on first appearance or first interaction with her, you're not looking at her at some strategic threat. But I mean, she has been putting plans together. She's been trying to make moves. She's been in a power position since we merged. And so it made so much sense. But yeah, when the first Juwan vote came up, it was like, oh no, it's Juwan, isn't it? And then when Savannah got, like, we can now move on to Savannah's antics too, because I think they're a little bit different than Rizzo's. When Savannah started going like, oh my God, was that you? Was that you? What? Oh my gosh. She started freaking out, but she knew she was fine. But it was so well done by Savannah that she was almost convincing me, who knew that she had the numbers and who knew that she almost like 100% chance played her extra vote, knowing that she had five votes on her side. Even she had me like, wait, Savannah's going here? Like, am I not tracking something correctly? And I still, on that first Juwan vote, was like, it's definitely Juwan. But man, was she good. Man, she was convincing. But what was the point of this from Savannah? I don't know. I think with Rizgod, maybe there's something you could argue about information gathering or limiting your threat level in some way. If people think your idol has been played and that was fake the whole time, this was kind of just a big tease at the end while you send somebody to the jury.
It felt like rubbing your nose in it.
Yes, honestly. This felt more like what I did to you at the top of the podcast.
Exactly. And then
I don't have a jury. I just have you. So.
Yeah. And I was able to turn it back on you because I'm not voted out. And so I can say my piece. Right. Mm-hmm. That's where I do feel like Rizzo's was a big show and might have put a target on his back. But if Rizzo were to get to the end, you know, Juwan got up, you know, and Rizzo says, give me some love, man. And he does whatever. I feel like what Savannah did here was, I want you to know that I'm disappointed in you. I can't believe you would do this to me, and I'm still going to get the better of you. Look, we've needed villains on Survivor. I think tonight that probably was the moment where she crossed into villain territory. Finally, I think officially now Savannah can be labeled a villain, and I'm fine with that. But I do.
God, wonder, that's what everyone's clamoring for.
What was, but if you're looking at this from a gameplay moment, she's not getting Juwan's vote at the end. No way. No way. Because Juwan likes the other. He's going to remember that, man, of her sitting there going, did you do that to me? Did you do that to me? And then he's going to get to Ponderosa and he's going to say, wait, she was asking me that knowing
she
that
knew
she
the
was
whole time
out of the game.
Yeah.
And that's going to piss him off. It is. And so I do think that, look, the other one though, and I will accept nobody giving any shit to Savannah for what happened earlier in this episode. And I need to address this right now. Because if anybody says that Savannah was too aggressive here, they are absolutely incorrect in my opinion. And I will not hear that this was villainous. When she asked Christina, who are you voting for? And Christina has her massive overreaction, worst liar of all time. No lies were presented when she walked up to that conversation with Savannah. As somebody who has had 47 different conversations with the person I'm about to talk to before I even step foot in front of them, I do not understand how you go into that moment. And when she asks you, who else are you considering? You literally don't have an answer. And then walk around saying, I don't like that. I don't like that. As if you've been like attacked by Savannah. Absolutely not. You got to come in. You are walking into a potential gunfight and you didn't bring a gun and you're just really hoping the other person's not going to pull theirs on you. You don't do that.
It's not even a gunfight. It's a verbal conversation and you didn't bring in any words. You didn't bring in any ideas. So when you, especially the way Christina presented this conversation, like the way she goes up to Savannah, right? It looks like she's the one that starts the conversation, if I'm not mistaken. It's like, hey, I just want to let you know I'm on the bottom. Use me as a number. I want to be involved. Like, tell me what to do. What's the plan? Like, I just want to be in this. And if you're really thinking about this, what is Christina actually doing here? She knows she's voting for Savannah and is trying to like lull Savannah asleep, but she's such a bad liar that Savannah reads right through it and goes, this is bizarre. Why are you coming up to me right before a tribal council? This is shady. I've already heard my name being thrown around. So Savannah point blank goes, okay, well, like, who would you vote for? Who are you considering? Because maybe we can put our heads together. And then Christina can't even say a name and says, I don't like that. You're on Survivor. I mean, I didn't know Savannah was catching heat for attacking Christina. That to me would be ludicrous because Christina was going into that conversation being the one trying to lie and play Savannah. And Savannah was just like, all right, like, who are you voting for?
Yeah.
And very simple. Literally, right. This is not a gunfight. This is a maybe like one of the most classic pre-tribal council conversations you have at a Survivor camp before you go to tribal council. Who are you voting for? Who do you want to vote for? Who are you interested in voting for? This is not some like, whoa. So yeah,
I didn't. Christina walked away and said, I don't like that. I don't like, I was like, what are we doing, Christina? Like, what are we doing?
Well, she got outplayed. I mean, if you're going to do that, if you're going to try to lull the target to sleep and make them think they have the numbers and that they have the power, you probably don't want to go up to them at all if you're someone who's never talked to them and never worked with them. But if you are, at least pitch a plausible target other than the person you're talking to. And when you refuse to give the name, you're pretty much confirming that you're voting for Savannah. So it's just terrible gameplay.
How easy would it have been for her to say, I'm willing to vote out Sophie Segretti. I'm willing to do it. I don't like where she's at right now.
You know what? At this point, Steve and I have been together from the start, but like, I love the dude. He's such a threat. Like, I'm actually willing to put Steve in, like, anything.
Yeah.
Whenever you're on Survivor, it seems, and someone asks you to throw out a name and you refuse to do so, it usually does not end well because the person you're talking to is immediately going to go, oh, so you're thinking of voting me out.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to immediately think.
And that's what I would assume. Look, it's every time, right? It's, hey, are we going to do this? If you give me a wishy-washy, yeah, I think so, but I already know. Okay, yeah, we're not hanging out tonight. That's what that means. Like, we're not going to the bar. You're going to go do something else. I was shocked by this. And I do wonder, like, was this because it was coming off of the challenge where Christina was being kind of hyped up by everybody and now she's like feeling herself a little bit. And so she's a little bit I can attack, not even attack, but you know, just, I can be on the offensive a little bit. I don't know. Maybe she was finally having a good day after having a bunch of bad days. And so this is kind of the reaction that she got from this. I don't know. So yeah, I refuse to hear that Savannah could be a villain for that. I think the way she handled Juwan at the end, whether you want to call it a villain or not, I see 1, 2, 3 fake street here. If Savannah's not a villain in the end, you don't have to say she's a villain. She's not getting Juwan's vote. And honestly, after tonight, she's not going to get Christina's vote
either. We have Cody Brayman, who, you know, super chat. It's worth a couple comments here. Juwan will definitely vote for Savannah. Well, look, it really depends who is sitting there. If Savannah is sitting there with Christina and Sophie Segretti, I think Savannah probably wins.
I think Sophie Segretti would win in that situation.
I don't know. It's hard. Like I said, like, it's hard to imagine Sophie Segretti being the winner from a story, like from the edit perspective. Just like, to hide your winner for the first like 5 episodes seems crazy.
Yeah, sure.
I could see it. I mean, they did start on Uli together. And Juwan's, look, and I said this last week, Phil, because you, not to really rub it in your face, but last week you had said, if they vote for Rizzo and he plays the idol successfully, then they're going to be in a really terrible spot because Savannah and Rizzo are going to they're going to feel burned and not going to want to work with them. And I had said, like, I don't think it's as bad as you think. Rizzo's made this idol very public. I think they're both game players. The game respects game. And Juwan, at least it appears when he exited, it's like, you guys got me. Well done. Good play. And I don't know if he would go to the jury and be like, you know what? I'm not voting for Savannah because of that thing she did to me when the votes were being read. Like, I don't think it would be that reason. Now, he might not vote for Savannah, but it probably isn't solely due to that reason, or maybe not due to that reason whatsoever. And that maybe he just thinks someone played better than Savannah in that scenario. But I wouldn't rule it out. It just wasn't a good move by Savannah, because what are you gaining from doing this? It can only hurt you.
Well, and my question is, if Savannah gets to final three at this point, based on how the game is set up, who's she most likely getting to final three with? At least one of Rizzo or Sophie Bellardi. Juwan votes for either of them over Savannah at the final tribal council. Either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of them. So that's where I'm sitting on this. So let's talk about Christina's moment here. What was your, so again, going back to chat BCC, I think Mike Bloom summed up something very perfectly. And I just want to read this one off, because I think it was good. He had said, I feel like the whole people apply for the game, but they play for the experience, a perfect representation of Jeff's entire philosophy of the new era. So they apply for the game, but they play for the experience. Perfect representation of Jeff's entire philosophy of the new era. What did you think about this scene, Jeff's whole situation here, and just like in general, like how this was handled?
I'm totally okay with Christina like yelling and being emotive and just like really losing it on the edge out there. Like, that's, to me, that's fine. That's reality TV. Survivor is a really tough environment, tough set. Like, you're not eating, you're not sleeping, you miss your family. I mean, we have the story of her mother who's no longer here with us, and like, I get it. I get it from that side, and I get the episode has to tell the story. I think what Bloom said, and what you're probably want to talk about more, is like, I think this does come down to casting. Like, mm-hmm. I think if we're in an era where the game is going to throw so much at you in terms of twists, advantages, strategy, and if that's what the game is going to, and the stories for that matter. And look, we've been here since the 30s, basically. This isn't news to anybody. This is what Jeff likes. This is what Survivor likes. Then casting should like reflect that direction of the show. And I don't think Christina so far has whatsoever embodied the strategic gameplay of what modern day Survivor is. And that's the direction the show wants to go. That's the stories they want to tell. Then you need to fulfill that direction with the people you're putting on your show. And look, I get people want more fights at camp. They want more conflict. They want more villains. Like, everyone's too nice. Everyone's kumbaya. I do think at this point, to be so upset, and look, I think, right, like, when it's raw, I get it. But like, when people are left out of votes, I said this last week and I say it all the time, when you lose it and are like, I'm done, like, I want to go home, like, I need to get out of here, this is too much, and I know people you trust just burned you, but you have to remember in the show, especially because this is what the show's focusing on, you have to remember it is still a game. And one vote that you're not included, the reaction is, damn, you got me. Look, is it going to feel good? No. You're going to feel duped? Absolutely. You're going to feel like an idiot. You know you're going to look like a dummy on national TV? Sure. But look, you're playing a game. And I think that has to be where they cast people that can come to play a game. And the thing that Bloom says where people are going for the experience, like, yeah, I think Christina really did want to be here because this is probably something she's never experienced, anything like it. Like, go live outside and don't eat and don't sleep and play a game. Like, that does sound cool. That sounds like you're really going to go through it and you're probably going to grow and learn a lot about yourself. But Survivor is not about giving the experience to 18 people. That's not the point of the show. And even I remember there was a preseason at some point where Jeff was like, why do we even do the show? And, you know, we're doing all this. We have the cameras. We have the boat for the marooning and all this, the audio equipment and everything. And it's like, what are we really doing? It's like, we're putting this experience on for 18 people. And I could not roll my eyes further into the back of my head because that's not why you're doing this, this show. This isn't an experience for 18 people that are like signing up for a retreat. You are doing this show because it is a show. It is a TV show. You are making television. You're making entertainment. And the goal should be to make the episodes as entertaining as possible. And not, the goal should not be, I want to give 18 people a really unique experience and then we'll cut it together and hopefully it's good. It should be producing towards some goal. So those are my thoughts on it. I mean, it's sad. It's a sad story from Christina. And again, I don't, yelling and being vulnerable and losing it, totally fine with that. It's more in that I don't know if Christina is like the best. I'll say it, like, I just don't think she was the best casting choice for this era of Survivor.
Yeah. And my thing is too, like, do I feel for Christina in that moment? For sure. Right. I mean, this is like, yeah, she loses her best friend 3 years ago. She's going through it right now and she wants to be able to talk to her mom. Like, I get that. That's not what I'm knocking here. I think what I'm knocking more than anything is the way Jeff kind of handles it after, of you're transforming, you're evolving, you're becoming something more. I hate to say this, but like, if you need to explain that thoroughly to an audience, Jeff, it's not working. That doesn't work, right? Like, we all watched David Wright transform and from whatever the hell he was on day one of Millennials vs. Gen X into what he becomes, right? We saw Chris Doherty in season 9 do the same thing where he goes from the guy who can't get across the balance beam to the winner of the season. And so I feel like when it comes to this, like, Cochran's another great example, right? Like, Cochran's a phenomenal example of that. And the thing is, when I watch this episode, Jeff feels like, wow, we got this great human moment. We still know Christina the least. We don't know her at all. So this would be like giving this massively emotional moment to, you know, Nikki and Paolo in Lost. Like, I don't know who this is. So why are we even giving them an episode? Which, by the way, Exposé is a pretty good episode. But it's like, when you sit there and you watch this happen, Jeff is highlighting this like, this is some epic, massive, awesome thing. And do I feel for Christina in this moment? Yes.
Yes.
Do I feel like this is some epic, you know, awesome moment at the challenge? No. It feels like the Suri thing all over again of cross that balance beam. You have the quotes from Savannah of, you can do it, you can do anything, with the inspirational music. And Jeff yells, I've never seen anything like that. And it's like, first of all, I don't even know what the rules of a balance beam are anymore. People are dragging half their body through the water, which I thought you couldn't touch the water. And then second of all, it's like, I have seen stuff like this on Survivor. So stop acting like this is something more. And it again, it comes back to, what is the show that you're trying to make? Because Troy, I just had Troy Zen on the podcast on Monday night, and he kept saying everybody gets their Olympic moment, right? They get their hero Olympic moment. This was Christina's Olympic moment. The audiences aren't connecting with those kinds of Olympic moments, though. Like, the meta has gotten way too meta on so much stuff that I think it's just gotten to the point where it's like, I think really what I've been able to pinpoint from the last couple episodes, because I'm enjoying this season quite a bit, and I've enjoyed these last couple episodes. I think the last couple votes are amazing.
Every post-merge episode has been really good. Again, I think great. And I think without 50's influence and you know, Savannah and Rizzo looming, I'm like, oh, we're probably not going to go home. Like, without that, I think when we rewatch 49, when we get to it,
yeah,
I think we're going to be like, damn, this FEMA merge is cooking, man. Like, I did not love the pre-merge. I really did not enjoy it. I had a lot of problems with it, but the post-merge so far has been excellent. Tonight was excellent. So,
and I think that's what it comes down to me. Get people who are so competitive that they would just die on the island to win Survivor. That is what is missing. That is, and Savannah is that person. I think Savannah is absolutely that type of person where she is so competitive, she does not give a shit. She is going to play this game as hard as she can every day. But that's not how everybody is on the show. I want 18 killers out there. I don't mean literal killers. I don't mean murderers. I mean, I want 18 people with that.
We want villains.
We want villains. That's true. That's true. But I want 18 people who really are willing to go out there and just be like, nope, you're my best buddy. You got to go. I want the Jesse look, right? And I think that that's what's missing. And so when I watch this episode, and this is such a big moment, and then Jeff turns around and he offers the freaking rice again. And it's like, dude, no one cares. You are wasting. He used to say, we don't have enough time in the episodes to show the opening credits, right? We can't show the people because there's these episodes are just too full. And you're going to waste 2 minutes of my life with another rice negotiation that no one gives a shit about? Stop. And that's the type of stuff. It gets too, Jeff is getting too into the, what is this going to look like? This, what's this moment? What's our Emmy moment going to be? What is this? It's like, no, just like let the people play and let it be natural. When Angelina did this, it was so natural. And you're just wasting our time at this point. And it's like, give me 18 Angelinas who are going to go out there and be somewhat delusional. That's fine. That's good TV. But let it be a competitive reality TV show, not a everybody should feel good about themselves. And you guys didn't want this rights because you're all playing so hard. It's like, wait, just give them all $1 million then. Like, what are we wasting our time for? Who cares who wins as long as y'all had fun? Give me a break, dude. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, a couple thoughts on the rice. One, like, if you're going to do a rice negotiation, I don't think you can do it this late. I don't think they've ever attempted to do it this late. Like, final eight? Yeah, and there's only a week. So, like, food-wise, you're already at the fit. Like, you're like, all right, I got one more week of being out here. We got coconuts. Like, there's going to be some rewards. Like, we can catch up that Juwan can catch us a guppy. Like, we're going to be good. Well, actually, he can't if you vote him out. But wait, not enough days left. And then just from like the like chances of winning $1 million, and we know this is an immunity challenge that just ends in a puzzle. So it's like there's kind of a level playing field eventually. So I just like, why was it so late? And then the funniest thing about this rice negotiation, Phil, was Juwan negotiates back for like terrible value. So like the bag, we need three people for the whole bag. Okay. And then Juwan says, what about we give you two people for only half? Two people then should be 2/3 of the bag. Mm-hmm. But Juwan says two people for half the bag, which is like already giving up value if you're comparing give ups to rice quantity. And then Jeff like scoffs at that as like, no way, are you kidding me? And then she's like, isn't this a negotiation? And Jeff's like, well, yeah, I'm not going to accept everything. But you know what? You've already made it clear. You guys all want to play. And it's like, okay, that was anything but a negotiation. Jeff just shut that thing down so quickly after I think Juwan made a very reasonable, like, hey, we're going to give up an extra person, two people, and not get as much rice. I thought that was a very valid thing from Juwan, which is funny because it seems like Jeff is probably the one purporting this idea of like the rice negotiation. We need to keep it's like it's gonna be good, it's gonna be juicy. Juwan throws something at him and just it's like take my ball and going home. Like we're done. I was just shocked to see.
And even Savannah says, I thought this was a negotiation. And yeah, it was like, and it's like then what are you gonna negotiate for?
Yeah, what I don't know what like if either do it and if someone negotiates, like have fun, play ball, like maybe we get a good TV out of it. But if you're first of all, don't do it at all. But if you're going to do it, like play with the players and let them talk back. But that's just shocking to me. You're right. It was a complete waste of time because it ended so quickly.
Yeah. It's just so stupid. There's a movie. I forget what movie it is, but like they come in and they're going in to meet with like the guys and the guys are like, hey, hit them with like $1,000. See if we can get them really cheap. Like, you know, we're going to take advantage of them. And then they tell the guys and the guys are like, oh, hell yeah, this is awesome. We're going to get like $1,000, not realizing that they've just been totally taken advantage of. That's what this felt like. And it did, like you said, Juwan actually offered back a bad offer and Jeff still said no. And yeah. I'm sure on the On Fire podcast, Jeff is talking about exactly what we're talking about, where this was a waste of time, right? Like, I'm sure he's not at all saying this is a great moment. And this is no, it's like, come on. Like, come on. Like, this is just, this is so stupid. It's so boring. And it comes off of the Christina thing where it's manufactured drama. Just put killers on the show and they're going to give you the drama you need. Savannah gave us drama today by saying, who are you voting for? That's how easy it is with some of the people you're putting on the cast right now. That's how easy it is to get under people's skin. Give me a break.
Who are you voting for? The most innocent. Yeah. Like, I mean, not innocent, but like such a normal thing to ask somebody. I don't know if the Christina thing felt as produced per se, because if someone does have a moment like that out there, like at this point, Jeff is going to ask questions. He is going to lean in and he's going to produce a moment out of him as a producer. Again, I go back to casting. I think someone that's going to have a remarkably difficult time because of being left out of a vote, and that, you know, that's going to become such a big moment of the challenge where she can't speak and then has kind of like an outburst. Jeff can't just ignore that. Be like, all right, thanks, Christina. You just had an emotional outburst. I'm going to ignore that. Like that, Jeff's going to pry and talk about it. Again, for me, it's like, I think it comes down to casting. Like you keep saying killers. And I'm like that, like, that's what we need. And like, Christina's a lovely person. Seems like, again, we feel for her, but is Christina a killer?
No. And that's the thing. I think for me, it wasn't Christina. I didn't love how Jeff was like, oh, you're transforming. But for me, it was like at the challenge then. I'm not suddenly rooting so hard for Christina just because, like,
oh, okay, God. Okay. You're saying more.
That's what I'm saying. Manufacturing that much.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was. You're correct. I got you.
And again, when we talk about like, I want killers, I want something like, it's like, think about the people who are coming back for 50 from the old era, like Aubrey, right? Like Stephanie LaGrossa. I know people might laugh at that, but like, think about her Guatemala.
Sari. Coach.
Colby was that guy. People forget that in All-Stars, he had no problem doing whatever the hell it took. In Africa, he couldn't wait to kill Jerry, right? Or Australia, sorry.
Africa.
You know what I mean? I know. I got Lex on the brain. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, When you watch who's coming back from pre-40, it's like they are players, man. And I'm not saying that these people can't be players. I'm just saying you gotta have a better variety here. That's all. And I'm sorry, but you know, I was telling Will beforehand, I'm getting a text from my dad, like, I don't like Rizzo or Savannah. And I'm like, good. Like, but then you don't like Christina either. So who do you like? Like, why are you even watching Survivor? And so that's how I feel when I'm watching this season. It's like what Rizzo and Savannah did at tonight's Tribal Council felt like a breath of fresh air. Even Juwan and Sage swinging for the fences and missing felt like a breath of fresh air. And now when they come out of this, I'm sitting there going, okay, Sophie Segretti's playing, Sophie Bellardi's playing, Savannah's playing, Rizzo's playing, Sage is ready to kill everyone. She doesn't care. I think Steven's playing. Steven's had to play on his hands a little bit. He hasn't really had a choice. I'm sorry, but Christina's really not playing. She's really not playing. And I know she played tonight, but I'm just like,
I think she attempts. She's made attempts to play. Like, she was trying to put together the split vote last week, but in doing so completely spilled the beans on the plan and made it on. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't know. Yeah.
And it goes back to earlier in the season. Like, Jeremiah didn't feel like he was playing. Jason didn't feel like he was playing. MC wanted to do the challenges. Like, again, I'm sure these are wonderful people, but for what the show is supposed to be, I just don't think that this is what the show is supposed to be. I don't think this is the route they want to go down.
And
people roll their eyes, man. It's boring.
Yeah. And I think, and we just had a discussion about this on our Patreon. Mm-hmm. I actually don't know if it's been released yet. Bill,
it did today.
We talked yesterday about game bots. There was a question, and was that a rock draw question?
Mm-hmm.
I think, and someone had asked about, you know, game bots, and it kind of got us going, wait, who are like the quintessential game bots? And we kind of struggled to name them. I mentioned Spencer in Second Chance, came up. I think one of the ones that came up when we looked up, like, who are they? Like Sierra and Game Changers and Second Chance. And that people complain about game bots all the time, but when you really boil it down, how many can you really name? And now maybe people are complaining more, not about game bots, but the game bodiness of certain players. So it's like when they're game body, it's not as interesting, but most of the people that we could even classify as game bots, was like, okay, well, Jeremy, you could argue was a game bot in Second Chance, but at least like, at least he had also a story and also a character. And like, I would take the game bodiness of the 30s way more than I would take like the, I just want the experience and I, you know, kumbaya, we're here to just love each other and play. Like, we're going to play a game, but it's really about who we are as people. Like, I would way rather have the 30s cast over the 40s cast.
Yeah. 100% agree. 100% agree. And I think that because again,
are we in an era? It's like, bring back game bots. Is that how far we've come?
I just think it's at the point of like, bring back, like, Rizzo isn't a game bot. Rizzo's being creative with the situation that's presented. Right.
And he's awesome. Like, yeah, he's really brought it. Like, I totally get why he's on 50.
And I get why I feel like there's other people on 49 right now. Like, again, like Sophie Bellarity is doing what she can with what she has. Jawan and Sage were trying to make moves. They didn't make the right ones. They tried to play too much in the middle, and look what happens to Jawan. Sage still has a chance to win, but Jawan's gone now. I just think it's got to be, you know what? I'm willing to swing for the fences. I'm willing to go for the kill. I don't care whose feelings I hurt. I don't know. Like, that's what I want. That's what I want. And that's why tonight I watched Savannah smile in Jawan's face and I think totally be an ass to him. And I had a smile on my face and I said, damn, like, I don't agree with what you're doing right now. This kind of feels like Tony clapping in everybody's face, but hey, Tony found a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
He found a way to win. So Nick Snyder here, you think there's going to be a mad dash to find Christina's re-hidden idol. What do you think is going to happen with this? Because there's still an idol in the game and there is a knowledge is power. So what do you think is going to happen?
I prefer if there's no new idol, especially because there's one already in the game. I'm sure they have the rule. We could probably parse that and figure it out. I know that if there are no idols in the game, they will re-hide them up until Final Five.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's no, if someone plays idol, it's... What's up, Ben? Oh, is Ben in the chat?
No, just Ben Dreebergen in general from 35. Oh, that's your people's minds.
Oh, I think the first example that we actually saw it though was in Millennials versus Gen X.
Okay, who found the last one?
I think
Hannah.
I forget. I don't even know if it got played, but like, forget. Maybe okay. David even. Yeah, I don't know. But it was at Final Five's last time you can play it. And they will rehide an idol up until Final Five. But with one idol in the game, they will rehide up until what point? I don't know. Like, maybe is it Final 10? Final 9?
Mm-hmm.
I think Final 7 is probably too late if there's already one in the game.
And a knowledge is power. I feel like...
Well, knowledge is power is just going to move the idol's hands. It's not going to... It's not an additional advantage.
I think what I'm saying is like, it doesn't mess knowledge is power in the game, though. You have the chance where somebody steals the idol, and now you have two idols at Final Six and Final Five when you had one. I don't know.
What I'm saying is, knowledge or power or not, if you put an idol into the game when there already is one, you're going to have two idols.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
whether the knowledge is power is used or not. So it's like the knowledge is power doesn't affect the economy of it all.
I kind of hope they don't hide one. Because
I hope so too.
At right now, I think where this season is at right now, you have, I don't know who goes home next week. I feel like there's so many variations, and I want to just watch seven people go to tribal council, one person have immunity, Rizzo's idol, Sophie's knowledge is power. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. And I see this in the chat from Zach. Do you want to give someone the ability to counter knowledge is power? We've seen it been countered. It already exists. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is power can already be countered. You just give your idol to somebody else that you trust. Obviously, you have to know about knowledge is power's existence, which they all should at this point because it's been in prior seasons. But it's not, like I said, it's no one's ever used it successfully. So that would be so baller, man. Sophie's been with Rizzo this whole time and then just steals her ally's idol. That would be awesome.
I love
Rizzo. Rizzo's my winner pick. He's not my winner pick. Sophie's my winner pick. So actually, I would love that. Rizzo's on my fantasy team, though. And I really am enjoying Rizzo this season, but that would be absolutely killer.
I have
talk about a killer move. That's the word of the night.
Yeah.
Killers. Oh, we got to do the Philly and the Willie.
Wait, hang on. We didn't get there yet.
Okay. I'm just waiting.
Yeah, I feel like there's a good chance that does happen. Well, before we do that, I want to give you a second here before we get to the Philly and Willie, because I know that's what people are dying for. That's what people come here for. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. Will's also got a link to an app in the description here, and I feel like you should mention that before
Philly and Will. Oh, I totally forgot. Yeah, this is actually for anybody who wants to sharpen their puzzle skills before going on to Survivor. I developed a logic puzzle. I had this idea for it honestly 10 years ago or something, and I never knew anybody who could actually make an app or code. I tried to find people a couple times, but I've been working on it as a side project for a while, and version one finally on the App Store. It's not on Android yet, but the goal with version one right now, it's very few people are playing it. There's a couple things wrong, a couple bugs, but if you want to download it, play it, and provide feedback, leave a 5-star review, that would be amazing. But it's a really fun puzzle. There's a daily puzzle, and then you can play packs of extra levels. So, it's called Pathways. It's a lot of fun. And anyone who wants to check it out, again, feedback is what I'm looking for right now. And then probably do a full, buff of it, an update, and then do a full release. So anyone who wants to play, much appreciated. Thank you, Phil, for reminding me.
5 stars with a buggy app. Come on, Will.
It's not buggy now, but it's version one. And there's just little things that I've already gotten great feedback, but the puzzle's really fun. If you're into puzzles, if you're into daily puzzles, if you want to, give your brain a little bit of a workout, it is a fun game. So go check it out.
There you go. Link is in the description. All right. Philly and the Willie. I think it's got to be Sophie Segretti for Philly. Rizzo and Savannah, I can't say whether or not they made the right moves. Christina, wrong move. Steven, out of the vote again. Sage, out of the vote again. Sophie Bellarity didn't play her knowledge is power. People still don't know about her knowledge is power. She voted correctly. But Sophie Segretti was the one who ultimately made this happen. She's the one who went to everybody and said Sage and Jawan are flipping. Had to convince everybody that Sage and Jawan were flipping when Sage and Jawan had proven to be loyal up to that point. And at the end of the day, she wins immunity. She was safe. She votes on the right side of the numbers. I know that Sophie Segretti probably doesn't have a lot of winner capital at this point, but I think she gets the Philly for this episode.
Yeah. We didn't talk much about this from Sophie's perspective, so maybe it's worth discussing it a little bit. I know we usually say, is this the right move? Is this the wrong move? It was kind of a blind side that came together and it pretty cleanly. So it wasn't there was a big decision weighing, but from Sophie here, Sophie Segretti, is it correct to tell Savannah and Rizzo and Sophie Bellarity that this plan is coming together and that this is happening? If she keeps quiet, does her position in the game get better or is it worse?
I think it depends on how good she feels with everybody on the island, right? I don't think she feels good with Steven, and I don't think she feels good with Christina. Even though she could probably beat Steven and Christina, she doesn't feel good with them. So it does probably make more sense to go this way. Also, what she's doing, and I thought it was really well explained by her, which was she wants to keep Savannah around because Savannah is just as good at challenges as she is, so it's a good shield for her, right? Savannah,
I hated that line.
But here's my thing, though. She's using that as part of the excuse. I think the other part of the excuse is she knows right now Savannah is – that name is coming out of everybody's mouth. Rizzo is making himself a threat every day, and Sophie Bellarity is already a threat. So I think the way she's looking at it, she's aligning with the side that's threatening. And then if she wants to turn and go to the other way, the other people are going to be willing to vote out those other three before they're going to be looking at her. I think she has herself positioned where she's got a lot of people covering for her. She has a lot of protection. Now, at some point, she's going to have to stick her head up and she's going to have to be the one who ultimately gets a move or does something. But I think right now she's making the right moves for her, which is keeping around threatening people, being aligned with the threatening people, but then also keeping your options open to potentially say to the people who are now on the wrong side of things, I'm still open. I don't necessarily want to go to the end with these people. And that's what we're hearing from her and Sophie Bellarity for next episode in the preview. And I think there might actually be something to that. So I do think it was the right move for her.
I do think it was very well played in how she was in the middle and she had the information from both sides. And yet, honestly, keeping Savannah as a shield, I think as a challenge shield, just the whole challenge talk, especially with how random some of the challenges are late in the post-merge, it's who knows what is going to be good. I just don't know if these challenge shields make a whole lot of sense this late and in this era of Survivor, but I can respect that Savannah is somewhat of a shield. She's a name that's been tossed around and people do want to eliminate her, but she's opting to go with, at least to us, the people that are way more threatening to win this game. And I think that's where you could argue, okay, probably safer to go with Christina and Steven. But if she puts herself in a position where she can then go back to them, and I think she has, then yeah, I think if she's able to eliminate Sophie, Segretti, Rizzo, or Savannah next week.
Yeah, this is Sophie Segretti who I gave it to. She has to be taking out Sophie Bellardi.
Sorry. If Sophie, yellow Sophie can take out blue Sophie or Savannah or Rizzo next week and work with Steven and Christina and Sage, then I think that, yeah, that's where she wants to be. I just hope she doesn't put all her eggs in the Savannah, Rizzo, Sophie, blue Sophie basket, which it doesn't seem like she is, but I'm with you. That is a quality filly right there from Sophie Segretti. I'm kind of struggling on the Willie, to be honest. I think Sage is probably the prime candidate because she's kind of the reason this plan got spilled. And then she loses her number one ally. She gets bamboozled. She's kind of lost a lot of her power. It's almost like giving her a retroactive, and I know we said we can't do this, we can't give retroactive Philly and Willies, but it's almost like punishing her a little bit for last week for not taking out Rizzo when you should have. And now she's, you know, she's reaping, yeah. Like she's getting the front end of her own lack of making a move here. Like it's really, her game has completely sunk. I mean, I was never really considering her as a person who could win, and that's mainly due to the edit. Again, we got a whole conversation about farting tonight.
Also, though, I will say it's funny that her strategy is I'm farting and I'm using that as the excuse for why I can't be like around. And then it's really like when she's plotting the blindside people. I thought that was funny.
That is funny. And I dig it. Again, I said this last week. I think you, the show wants you to take the winner somewhat seriously, and not that they can't be fun, but yeah, Sage really hasn't fit the bill as how a winner is usually like portrayed. So Christina is another option. I mean, Christina did not handle being outside of the vote very well. She kind of had a breakdown of the challenge, and like I'm telling you, and I said this, I don't think Christina has any shot to win at this point. I didn't think she had it last week. Certainly don't think she had it this week. But I also said this last week too. If you have no shot to win, you can't really do anything to ruin your game. So can I really give you the Willie?
And also it was an emotional, the thing with the mom, like was an emotional moment. Again, it's not heartbreak. I don't want to be like saying the mom thing is bad. It's like everything.
No, it. So it was like everything. Yeah.
Like, I just feel like her gameplay isn't good. Her reaction to Savannah's question was terrible, but she didn't, I mean, she lost her idol. She still has her closest ally.
Yeah. Of course she misplayed the idol as well. Wasted it. But I still think.
We'll mute himself.
Still, we're gonna give.
I think he unplugged his.
Give it to Sage. We're gonna give it to Sage because she's partially responsible for why Juwan went home, and that was her number one ally.
Yeah, and now that Will's mic is coming through the wrong one, we'll wrap this thing up. So,
oh no, is it really?
Yeah. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll be live. Actually, I am gonna do an episode tomorrow. I'm gonna do it with Ollie from Survivor Now at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. He's in the UK, so he doesn't really care about Thanksgiving. So we will be live tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. And then on Sunday, I got Omer at 8 p.m.
Oh, wow.
So I hit the double whammy of like people who don't care that it's Thanksgiving weekend here. I got Ollie in the UK. I got Omer in Canada. We're going to be having a great time.
Good scheduling by you. Or I guess that maybe just fell into place.
No, I purposely went out of my way and was like,
oh, you reached out to people that you know were going to be willing. Yeah, they're not like, sure.
Because everybody always wants to do that Sunday of Thanksgiving. And then all of a sudden that Sunday of Thanksgiving comes around and people are like, no, I don't want to do shit.
You're tired. So, you're traveling. Yeah. You got football on. That makes a whole lot of sense. Everybody, check out Pathways. Link in the description.
Check out Pathways. Tomorrow, Lions by 21. Chiefs by 40. They're going to kill the Cowboys. And then Bengals by 3.
Wow.
That was for Nick Snyder, that last one. That's all.
I don't need to break them all down. I don't know if I agree with all those, but we'll see tomorrow.
All right, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow at 11:30 a.m.
See ya.